Welcome back, everybody. So we're going to be talking about forgotten sequels to popular TV shows, which will also take us to talking about spinoffs, which is always fun to talk about because there have been like 8 million spinoffs, many of them terrible, some of them great. But these forgotten sequels, some of these I don't, a few of them I absolutely remember, but some of them I don't recall at all. Now, Esmeralda, when you were growing up, did you watch reruns of The Brady Bunch? Did you ever get into The Brady Bunch?
Not really.
Yeah. Dan, you?
Yeah, here and there.
I'm of the age where, I mean, I remember it first run. I was a little kid when it was on first run, but the reruns in the 70s, that's when, you know, Channel 32 would show them like 4:30 or 5 after school, right before dinner. The Brady Bunch is a terrible show, but I watched it all the time because it was on, you know, it was on every day and it was on TV, and I'll watch whatever's on TV at some point. And back then there was only, you know, three networks and a couple of UHF channels that you had to watch, and it was on Channel 32. And that's when it really gained the cult, incredible popularity that it had. And then, you know, obviously, the Annoyance Theater here in Chicago started doing the real live Brady Bunch, where they would recreate episodes of the Brady Bunch, and that took off, became like a, you know, a national sensation, and that led to the two movies that were made in the 90s, which, by the way, are both very funny. And then, like, the popularity increased. So it was right around, it was in the 70s, you know, when I was, like, 13, 14 years old, 12, 13 years old, when it really started to take off in syndication, in reruns. So the popularity of the Bradys came back. You know, they did Christmas specials in the 80s and stuff like that. And, but in 1990, it came back, the Bradys, as the Bradys. Now, I don't remember, Dan, do you remember this?
I sort of do.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, ever completely watching an episode, but I remember, like, watching bits of it.
I vaguely remember this, but the description is insane. Esmeralda, do you remember the Bradys from 1990?
I only remember the movies, the TV movies they would do.
Like the Christmas ones and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, when they would all come back and they were all adults.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what this was. This came out in 1990. It was a series. It says, after the success of the Brady Bunch during its five-year run on ABC during the early 70s and in syndication throughout the 80s, rival network CBS commissioned a sequel series after seeing positive ratings for A Very Brady Christmas. Now, we all remember that. It was a 1988 made-for-TV reunion movie. 2 years later, the Bradys debuted with its original cast, except Maureen McCormick, who declined to reprise her role as Marcia Brady, so they replaced her with Leigh Ayers. While the original Brady Bunch was a 30-minute comedy, The Bradys was a soapy, hour-long dramedy with adult-themed storylines like Mike starting a career in politics, Marcia battling alcoholism, Bobby becoming paralyzed after a race car accident, and Peter dating an abusive woman. Good Lord! Did anybody watch this? 312-981-7200. Mike in politics. Marcia is an alcoholic. Bobby gets paralyzed after a race car accident. Peter dating an abusive woman. That sounds completely insane and totally watchable. I would absolutely, if this was available, maybe it's available on the YouTubes because there's so much stuff that's out there. I would totally watch this. Considering the Brady's harsher subject matter and themes, the new TV show only lasted a few episodes in early 1990. CBS aired The Bradys on Friday nights against ABC's TGIF juggernaut lineup. Oh, my God. Why would you put it up against? It was Perfect Strangers, Family Matters, Full House. Including A Very Brady Christmas, the Bradys were on a whopping 7 TV spinoffs and sequels for The Brady Bunch, including The Brady Kids, The Brady Bunch Variety Hour, The Brady Girls Get Married, Day by Day, A Very Brady Episode, and Kelly's Kids, which was a backdoor pilot for a new series. I remember the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. That's something, Esmeralda, if you ever get a chance, look up some of the performances on the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, because they're hilarious. And very consistent with how terrible variety shows were in the 70s and early 80s. So, I don't know. It was only on for a few episodes, but my God, that sounds fascinating. Doesn't that sound totally watchable? Esmeralda, wouldn't you watch that?
Sure.
God, Peter dating an abusive woman? Come on, I'm all over that. Wow. Did they ever, never, they always had a lesson in the old Brady Bunch, the original Brady Bunch. There was always a lesson that someone had to learn. Not quite as good as G.I. Joe, Dan, I realize. Those lessons, true. Those lessons are the greatest. But yeah, so I do not remember the Bradys from 1990. But man, I hope the video is out there somewhere.
There are a couple episodes. Oh, like.
Is it on YouTube's?
Yes.
Oh man, I'll be watching that. Oh man, that just sounds fantastic. So, if anybody remembers some of these spin-offs or sequels to popular TV shows, give us a call. And especially if you watch The Bradys, text us or call us, 312-981-72. And I know there's a lot of hardcore Brady Bunch fans out there, you know, who became very, very, you know, obsessed with the show and then all the spin-offs and stuff like that. So, yeah. But those movies, you know, the two Brady Bunch movies that you know, Gary Cole. How great was Gary Cole in the Brady Bunch movies? You've seen the movies, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
They're both really funny. I think the second one's funnier than the first one. Shelley Long, perfectly cast. Ben Stiller's future wife, who looks exactly like Maureen McCormick, was in that. I'm trying to remember who the other... Did the other kids go on to do anything? I think they were just in... I mean, except for her. I don't think any of the kids who played... the Brady kids went on to do anything after that movie.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But those movies, I was surprised because I was really down on it. When the first one came out, I was like, because I was sick of the annoyance thing. You know, being in Chicago theater and that at that time, it was just like, come on. And when the movie came out, I was like way down on it. I was like, this is going to suck. Like 15 minutes in, I was like, this is really funny. I got to admit, this is funny. And I think the second one's actually funnier. So, all right, how about this? Does anybody remember the new Gidget? Now, you guys probably don't even remember the old Gidget. Dan, do you know Gidget?
I know only of you and Steve and Johnny talking about it, but never seen an episode.
It's Sally Field. Old teen sitcom with Sally Field. Esmeralda, did that one ever show up on when Nick at Night ended or Nick at Night started?
I'm not sure.
I think they showed Gidget. I'm pretty sure that's when it went black and white. They would show some Gidget. So the new Gidget ran from 86 to 88. After the high ratings number for the 1985 made-for-TV movie Gidget Summer Reunion, original series producer Harry Ackerman launched a sequel the following year called The New Gidget with Karen Richman in the role instead of Sally Field. See what happens when they do these made-for-TV reunions? Suddenly they think, yeah, let's get the show back on the air. But, of course, in the current climate of TV, everything's a reboot. You know what I mean? There's like everything is coming back. Murphy Brown is coming back. Did you see that? Murphy Brown is coming back. Let's see. Now, I don't know. I don't even know who Karen Richman is. Dan, can you look up her IMDb page? It's C-A-R-Y-N. C-A-R-Y-N Richman. I don't remember or I can't picture her in... I'm wondering what some of her other credits are, but she played the new Gidget, and that she replaced Sally Field in the new Gidget. What's going on?
I'm not seeing anything that we would know quite a bit, but you'll like this. She was Nora Brady on the Bradys.
Oh my God!
So she was in two of them.
She's in the first two ones that we're talking about here. She's in
she was also on the TV show Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The TV show Hollywood Safari.
Wow.
The Adventures of Mr. Clown.
The Adventures of Mr. Clown?
Yes. That was a TV series in 2013.
The Adventures of Mr. Clown?
It looks like a kid's show.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, okay, I still don't know who she is. But yeah, anyway, she played New Gidget. It followed...
She played Abby on Party of Five.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, what?
Abby on Party of Five, only for one episode. Though.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't remember the character of Abby. Okay. All right. Well, she worked a lot, though. I mean, and she's got credits leading up to 2013. She's been in the business. She's at least working. You know, good for her. So the New Gidget followed Frances Elizabeth Gidget Lawrence, who was now grown up and married to her longtime boyfriend, Jeff Moondoggy Griffin, The pair lived in Santa Monica and still made it to the beach once in a while, despite their busy lives as a travel agent, her, and an architect, him. The new Gidget lasted for 2 seasons, which is actually double the original 60s series. However, the latter is far more popular because it was Sally Field's big breakout role. Wow, it lasted longer than the original Gidget did. That's amazing. All right. Never watched the new Gidget. Did anybody watch the new Gidget or the Brady's? Both of starring which Karen Richman of the star with both of them. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Talk and Text. We're talking about forgotten spinoffs for TV, and then we're going to get to some or forgotten sequels to TV, and then spinoffs as well. All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back with more. Yeah, man. How the hell could I forget about Broken Wings? This song was huge. Mr. Mister, it's Triple Play Thursday. Triple Play Thursday meeting review. 301 area code requesting some three Mr. Mister. Mr. Mister songs. That's Broken Wings. I can't believe I forgot about Broken Wings. That was a big song. That was big.
Song's a jam.
Oh man, Mr. Mister. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We're talking about forgotten TV sequels. Many of which I don't even believe existed, but they do. And we want to hear from you. We're also going to get into some spinoff stuff as well when we're talking some more TV here. If you want to jump in at any time, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. So now, the next one here I do remember. The Munsters Today, which aired from 1987 to 1991, after a made-for-TV reunion movie called The Munsters' Revenge failed to get off the ground, producers Lloyd Schwartz and Brian Joseph created The Munsters Today instead. The new TV show was in full color and took place in 1988, which was 22 years after the black-and-white original went off the air. However, CBS passed on the sequel, so it aired in first-run syndication. The Munsters' original cast of Fred Gwynne and Yvonne DiCarlo declined to appear on the new TV show. While Al Lewis was not happy, he was not considered to reprise his role as Grandpa. Al Lewis, by the way, a couple of weeks ago when we screened Used Cars, unbelievably funny in that movie as the judge. Oh, man. Now, I remember watching this because when I was a kid, I loved the Munsters. And so when this show, I remember watching this one. It was a syndicated show. It wasn't good. I don't remember who was in it, though, like who played Herman. And maybe it was it John Shuck? Dan, can you look up the Munsters Today? Because I know when they did a TV movie or something, and John Shuck played Fred or Herman.
You are correct.
John Shuck. Who was Lily?
Lily was Lee Merriweather.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Does it say anything about who Eddie and Grandpa were? Or?
Eddie was Jason Marsden.
Uh-huh.
Grandpa was Howard Morton.
Oh, I know who Howard Morton is, yeah.
Marilyn was Hilary Van Dyke.
Okay. Well, I watched that, and it was not good. In 2012, NBC commissioned Brian Fuller, who created Hannibal and Pushing Daisies, for a new TV reboot starring Jerry O'Connell as Herman Munster and Portia de Rossi as Lily. And it was called Mockingbird Lane. The reboot was eventually canceled, but the network aired the failed TV pilot as a Halloween special later in that year. And then in 2017, it was reported that Seth Meyers was reportedly working on an all-new reboot of The Munsters.
I vaguely remember Mockingbird Lane. I can remember hearing the brouhaha about it.
Jerry O'Connell and Portia de Rossi. That's that's pretty weird. I'd like to watch that. Well, first of all, Brian Fuller has created some of the best, Pushing Daisies and Hannibal are both amazing shows. So maybe it was kind of funny. I don't know.
Oh, and it, oh gosh. Who's that comedian who dresses up? British comedian. He's Eddie Izzard.
Oh, Eddie Izzard. Yeah, oh, yeah. He was in it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, was he Grandpa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I'm starting to remember this now.
I remember thinking it would be really cool, and then there was nothing else.
It was only like 6 years ago, so I should have more of a memory of this. Mockingbird Lane. So, All right, and now evidently Seth Meyers is working on a Munsters reboot. Oh, boy. All right. We got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. We'll get to those in a minute because we have to break for the news. And then more. And now I want to I'll give you the details on the next one after the news. But there was the new WKRP in Cincinnati. Ran from 91 to 93. I have no recollection of that whatsoever, and I was a huge KRP fan. The new WKRP in Cincinnati. I'll give you the details on that. If you remember any of these shows, 312-981-7200, and we'll jump back into it right after we take a break here for the news. Okay, I've been proven wrong. I remember this song, too. So, yes, there were three Mr. Hits. I don't think that one was as big as the first two.
But no, but it's a double fister when he says that. Why can't you tell me part? That's a double fister. You got to get into that one.
You gotta, you're shaking your fists at the sky.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So Mr. 301 area code. That's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. We're talking about forgotten sequel TV shows. And so far, I remember the Munsters today from the late 80s, early 90s, but I do not remember the Bradys vaguely, and I don't remember the new Gidget. And then the new WKRP in Cincinnati ran from 91 to 93. And I have no recollection of that, but John does. Hey, John.
I know a little bit about it.
Okay.
I've just been reading Lonnie Anderson's biography. Well, they rebooted it, and it was a syndicated show. But the creator, Hugh Wilson, who originally worked at radio stations in Atlanta, didn't have anything to do with the new WKRP.
Mm-hmm.
But it featured Gordon Jump, who played Arthur Carlson on the original show, and
sure.
He was a station manager. It had Frank Bonner, who played Hugh Tarlick, the salesman.
Right.
And it had Richard Sanders, who played Les Nessman, the newsman.
Right.
Plus, it also had Michael DeBars, who was in To Sir With Love, and he played a morning DJ, and Tony Katane.
Wow.
Was another morning DJ on the show.
Wow.
And so anyway, new WKRP had solo appearances by Kim Reid, who played Venus Flytrap, Howard Hessman, who played Dr. Johnny Fever, and Ronnie Anderson, who played Jennifer.
Right. Wow. I don't remember it at all.
Well, it was syndicated and it appeared in a lot of major markets.
Yeah.
The person you should talk to is actually Dean on the morning show.
Dean's
always talking about WKRP. In fact, he interviewed Gary Sandy at one point, and I guess Gary's come to Chicago a number of times, but he's really full of himself.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the info.
I don't think Gary had anything to do with it. In fact, the program director on the new WKRP was a black guy.
Okay.
Not Gary Sanders.
Gary Sanders. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for all the info.
Okay.
All right, John. Take care. Wow, that's amazing. Now, here's what it says here. It says, in 1991, 9 years after the original WKRP in Cincinnati left the airwaves on CBS, the sequel series called The New WKRP in Cincinnati debuted in syndication. The new TV show brought back many of its original cast, such as Gordon Jump, Frank Bonner, and Richard Sanders. Other cast members dropped by for a few guest appearances, like Lonnie Anderson and Tim Reid. However, with mixed critical response and the numerous problems of first-run TV syndication, including inconsistent time slots and air dates, the new WKRP in Cincinnati was canceled 2 years later. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. Dan? You know, we've talked about like great theme songs for TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
The best is the closing credits of the original WKRP in Cincinnati. It's a jam. The closing credits for the original WKRP in Cincinnati. It's not the song they play at the beginning. Yeah, this is it. See, it's a jam. Who is that? Does it say who it is?
Jim Ellis.
Jim Ellis. Okay. Yeah, I always loved the closing credits of KRP. I always thought it was a jam. So, all right. We got some texts coming in if you want to join us. It's 312-981-7200. 847 area code says, one of the kids from the Brady movie went on to be on Chicago PD. Oh! Trevor from Antioch said the original middle Brady boy had the reality show and the winner, oh yeah, from America's Next Top Model. Yeah, he married what's-her-face from here. Peter.
Adrian Curry.
Adrian Curry, right. And then they had the That's My Brady or I Love My Brady or I'm Married a Brady.
Joliet native, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. She's did she go to your high school?
She did. She went to, I think she did, but I remember her in junior high. She was a year older than me.
Oh, okay. And so she was, you remember her from junior high. Yeah. Well, did they met on the Surreal World, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how they met? Because they were in they were both in the Surreal World, and then they ended up dating.
Yeah.
And then they got married. And then there was an episode of the Brady Village, or whatever the hell it was called, I Love Bradyman, where they went to Joliet. Do you remember that?
I mean, I think they got married in Joliet.
Oh, I think you're absolutely, I think you're right. But I remember that there was at least one episode that took place in Joliet.
Can we just take a moment here to notify the fact that Esmeralda has gone to grade school and college with major market personalities and TV stars?
Yeah. Andy Dick, by the way, graduated from her high school as well.
Yeah.
My Fair Brady, by the way.
Oh, My Fair Brady, right. So it was. So you went to college with my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo.
Mm-hmm.
You went to high school with junior high with Adrian Curry.
Yeah, I remember her in junior high, and I remember she's kind of one of the bad kids.
Uh-oh.
I just remember because she was older, so.
She's one of the bad
She was like eighth grade, so she, for some reason, to me, all the eighth graders look like giants and adults.
Sure, sure. But yeah, that's pretty funny. Now, Andy Dick is about my age, so you clearly didn't go to school.
Yeah, he came back and spoke.
Oh, that's good.
But other than that, no, yeah, he was older.
They had Andy Dick come back and speak to the students?
They did. I think it was for arts, something to do with the arts and the theater and all that, the drama classes and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's great.
Did anybody from your high school go on to star on any TV shows?
Janina Gavankar? She was a couple years older than me, I think. She was in True Blood and all this stuff. I'm remembering her right now because I'm seeing stuff, because I guess she's friends with Meghan Markle. And so she was posting about being at the royal wedding and all that.
Wow. And you went to school with her?
I think she was a couple years older than me.
Oh, a couple years. But she went to the same, you walked the same halls.
The Gavankars were very well known at my high school, because they were all, it was her, and then I think she had a sister, and they were all very, like, overachieving.
Oh, sure.
In everything, every club, and
sure.
They got named for a lot of stuff.
They weren't bad like Adrian Curry.
No. I think she did go to my high school, too, but I don't remember her.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Or among greatness. I mean.
I went to high school, trying to think who I went to high school with. I didn't go to nobody. Nobody famous. I don't think anybody famous went to my high school, went to Luther North. Oh, wait, Dave, who makes the barbecue sauce?
Sweet Baby Rice?
Yeah, no.
Famous Dave?
Famous Dave, yeah.
He's got restaurants.
Yeah, no. See, and you know what was really hilarious was that when they, you know, my school, by the way, is closed down, which I'm sad about, Luther North on Northwest Side. They put me on their Wall of Fame. You know, I was the first induction of the Wall of Fame, where they put my terrible graduation picture up on a plaque, and there was a big ceremony and we were honored and all that stuff. So they put me up there. So I was on the very first Wall of Fame induction at Luther North. Brought my parents. They were really insanely proud and everything. And again, I find it hilarious because I graduated with a 2.0, but I mean, I ended up getting a radio show, doing a radio show. So that's why they put me up there.
There you go.
But my class in 1983, I remember that the first induction thing that we did, this, I think they inducted me in like 2011 was when it happened. And when we had a nice dinner in the cafeteria, in the Luther North cafeteria, we had a nice dinner and they presented some prizes to us and all that. And they made nice speeches about us. But man, my class in 1983 was represented strong. in the first year, where they inducted the people onto the Wall of Fame. But I remember that first induction, Dave was inducted, famous Dave. That's how I found out. I never knew that the guy went to my high school, but that's how I found out, was the night that we were all inducted into the Wall of Fame. And so that's famous Dave.
By the way, John Barrowman, too. I forgot about that.
Oh.
And Jimmy Chamberlain.
Wow, man. Wow, Joliet All-Stars.
Right, yeah. Man. You realize we all got to get out. They're saying, wow. Now we got to leave.
Yeah. You know, we talked about a local famous man there who went to Libertyville High School and rode his motorcycle up and down the hallway and got booted. Good old Marlon Brando.
Oh, right.
Marlon Brando went to Libertyville High School.
Didn't the Pearl Jam guy?
Eddie Vedder?
Yeah, any from up there?
He's from Evanston.
Ah, okay.
I'm trying to remember. And who went to, somebody else went to, where did Hugh Hefner go? I think Hugh Hefner, did he go to Schurz? I'm trying to remember, because we had a lot of famous people that went to some of the schools. Well, obviously, famous people from Chicago went to school here.
Yes.
But I
Steinmetz.
Steinmetz, that's what it was. He went to Steinmetz. Hugh Hefner went to Steinmetz. That's fantastic. Any famous people go to St. Pat's?
The guy who wrote Prince of Tides.
Oh.
What's his name? I can't remember his name. He's a famous writer. I mean, he's written more than Prince of Tides. He was a very famous novelist.
Pat Conroy.
Pat Conroy, that's right, yeah. He went to St. Pat's?
I believe so.
Wow.
And Jim Toronto.
Oh, good. Jim Toronto. Yeah, Elton Jim. Did he skip school to go to Elton John concerts?
I would imagine he probably did once or twice.
A couple times. All right, we got a break here. I don't know how we got into the subject of famous people you went to high school with.
Because of Adrian Curry.
Because of the Bradys, the new Bradys. Adrian Curry. Oh, man. All right. We got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic. Triple Play Thursday, everybody. 773 area code. Pick Johnny Crawford of Gunsmoke. That's tying in, people are listening, evidently. That's Cindy's birthday. Today is Cindy's birthday. Johnny Crawford of Gunsmoke. Apparently, we're going to hear two more songs. So, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here till 5 o'clock. And we are talking about forgotten TV show sequels and some spinoffs as well. And here is Donald on WGN. Hey, Donald.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking about All in the Family. With the two most famous spinoffs are Archie Bunker's Place and Jefferson's. But there's one called Gloria, which actually is the further adventures of Gloria Stivic
right.
After she got divorced from Mike. And
yep.
I think it only lasted 1 year.
It was only on for 1 year, but one of the biggest spinoffs besides the Jefferson's from All in the Family was Maude. Maude was a huge hit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So Gloria, whatever happened to Sally Struthers after that, besides The Getaway? She did The Getaway
The Getaway was before that.
But
Sally Struthers, I don't know. She did a lot of those infomercial things about, feeding kids who were starving and stuff. She did a lot of charity work as well. But, yeah, All in the Family had a lot of spinoffs. They had, and many of them were successful. Good Times was an All in the Family spinoff. Because she was on Maude, so that's where that came from. So Good Times was an All in the Family spinoff too. So All in the Family had a lot of spinoffs, many of them successful. So Donald, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Jeff in San Diego said Still the Beaver is a good spinoff. So, yeah, I think we're going to talk about that one. That's another one that is talked about in this article. 847 area code says, do you guys remember After MASH? The show included Colonel Potter, Radar, and Father Mulcahy. I think Klinger showed up, too, and it lasted about two seasons. After MASH is widely considered to be one of the worst spinoffs in the history of television, and it was awful. Awful. Dan, did you ever see After MASH?
No, I never saw it.
No, you were young. You were, because it was mid-80s, because MASH ended in 83, and I think After MASH started in 84. So,
by the way, real quick clarification: Johnny Crawford is from The Rifleman.
Oh, The Rifleman. Yes. So. Okay, not Gunsmoke. The Rifleman. Okay. Esmeralda, do you remember the New Monkees?
No.
From 1987, you were too young, but. In 1986, the Monkees were at the top of pop culture again because MTV started airing reruns of the old TV show. So a new audience, a bunch of teenagers, had a new audience. And Mickey, Peter, and Davey, without Michael Nesmith, met up for a special 20th anniversary tour while their albums reissued and they had a new one re-released. It was really a renaissance, Esmeralda. You would have been so happy if you were older.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy that they, you know, like the Monkees were huge in like 86, 87. Huge. After auditioning upon thousands of hopefuls, Jared Chandler, Larry Saltis, Constantinos Dino Kovas, and Marty Ross were selected to star as well as release a new synth pop driven self titled album to coincide with the premiere of New Monkees in syndication. Much like the original, the new TV show followed the adventures of a struggling young band that lived together, but the difference being that they lived in a giant mansion with a butler, many unexplored rooms, which were a source of said adventures, a diner with a sassy waitress, and a talking computer named Helen. That sounds like a nightmare.
I hate this already. Says, I'm looking up pictures and they look terrible. This is I am offended.
By the last thing it says, however, by the time the new TV show and album were released to the public in 87, the Monkees had become passé again, and the New Monkees was canceled after 13 episodes despite 22 episode series order. The new album also failed to garner a single hit. So, you'll be happy to know, Esmeralda, that it was a complete failure.
Good. I'm glad. They look horrible.
Is it like a bad 80s hair and stuff?
They all have, well, one's got the like the mullet with the poof, the poofy in the front mullet.
87. And then,
but they all just look like dorks. Like, at least the Monkees had, I don't know, they had a look about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys just look like doofuses.
Well, it didn't work out. And I don't remember why. I remember, vaguely remember, you know, that they were trying to launch the New Monkees because the Monkees were so big at that time.
Yeah. Like, but they're real 80s.
Yeah, very 80s. 1987, that's about as 80s as you can get. I mean, you know.
But they look like what people think of now. Like, I'm going to go as 80s.
Yeah.
If that's what that looks like.
Well, it did exist.
I know, but like that bad?
Yes, that bad.
Jeez.
The 80s were terrible.
It's like, let's throw every trend on ourselves and then take a picture.
There it is. All right, the New Monkees, they failed. All right, we're going to talk more about these forgotten TV shows and spinoffs and stuff. 312-981-7200. News is up. Next. Oh, that's lovely. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200, 773 area code. That's Johnny Crawford from The Rifleman. Something special. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's going on? It is a Thursday morning, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, and my main man, the great Steve Cochran, at 6. And I will appear on Steve Cochran's show this morning as well for my weekly Thursday morning visit at 6:20. We'll preview all the new movies and talk a little bit about my screening for Back to the Future, which is on June 12th. That's part of Robert Zemeckis Fest. And it's Tuesday, June 12th, 8 o'clock at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movieco. If you want to come, please come. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. Get there about 7, have some dinner, and then at 8 o'clock I'll introduce the movie in the beautiful Premiere Theater, and we'll watch one of the greatest movies ever made, Back to the Future, on the big screen, digitally remastered 4K. It's going to be amazing. And if you've never seen it on the big screen, it's a must-see. And if you've never seen the movie, which I doubt, I think everybody's seen Back to the Future, you need to come out and check it out. We're going to have a great time. We'll talk about the movie afterwards with some inside stories and all kinds of cool stuff. And we celebrate the work of the great Robert Zemeckis all summer long at my film club screenings. So anyway, Tuesday, June 12th, tickets are available now. They're going pretty quickly. So if you're going to get there, if you're going to come, reserve your seats ASAP. A lot of the great seats are taken already, so get in there and get your seats taken right now at amctheaters.com. Reserve your seats right now. We'll see you Tuesday, June 12th, for Back to the Future on the big screen. Again, amctheaters.com. So, Esmeralda, are you still upset about the New Monkees?
Yes. It's an affront. to all that is.
I should probably
sacred.
Look. I should probably let me look up what they look like. You know, hold on a second.
I'm just mad.
I understand
it's
that.
Ridiculous.
Well, how did you get into the monkeys, Esmeralda?
I got into the monkeys when they did that made-for-TV movie on VH1.
Like, about them?
Yes.
Oh.
And I, for some reason, fell in love with the movie, and I thought, oh, my God, they're the cutest and most adorable. Like, the characters, the movie itself, and then I started watching. And then I think because of that, because that it was VH1 who made that TV movie, they were doing a whole thing where they showed... They did a marathon of Monkees episodes. So then watching Monkees episodes and then the movie. So I got the whole backstory. And then I think they had it behind the music, too. So
yeah, no,
all
they did.
Of
the
this
Monkees,
culminated.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my gosh, they're the best.
The Monkees did have a behind the music. Yeah, I watched it a few times.
Yeah, I watched all of that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Wow, that's cool. All right, I just did a Google image search for the
I'm
new Monkees.
Angry.
What a bunch of dorks!
There's just something I don't know. They're very like we're 80s.
Yeah, but that was a real thing though, Esmeralda.
I know, but like if you look at the Monkees, yeah, they're wearing. I don't know. They just seemed like guys.
They didn't seem like they didn't seem particularly 60s.
Right.
Like
or like a like we're stereotypes like, of a thing
like they, over the top 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah. Although some of Davy Jones' shirts were very 60s.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like that was just...
Yeah.
It felt a little more organic than what I'm looking at, genuine. Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
they are wearing that stuff.
Clearly, these dorks were predetermined, and it was put together like a package.
Yeah, it feels... And of course, yeah, the monkeys were put together, but it just feels, I don't know, it feels natural.
The other thing about it is they were cool. Like, the monkeys were cool.
Right.
I mean, Mike Nesmith is you know, arguably like one of the coolest dudes in the history of music.
I mean, he started the hat craze.
Yeah.
All the hipsters who wear knit caps.
Yeah.
It's all Mike Nesmith.
Yeah, it all goes back to Mike Nesmith. Yeah. Well, yeah, boy, those are really annoying pictures, Esmeralda. I can understand.
Right? There's just something about them. I'm like, I want to punch you in the face.
God. I never watched it, though. Did anybody watch the new Monkees? Anybody out there, did you torture yourself by watching the new Monkees? Didn't last very long. And another thing about the Monkees, Esmeralda, the music was good. That's another thing. Like, they had amazing songwriters writing for them. You
for
know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. They had, what were they called?
The
Brill.
Yeah, the Brill Building. And,
yeah.
And Neil Diamond wrote a few songs for them.
Yeah.
And then
even when they were, you know, when they broke off and they were... They were like, no, we are actual musicians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so the new Monkees. Wow, what a nightmare that must have been to watch. All right, here's one that will make me angry, Esmeralda. Not as angry as you were about the new Monkees, but how about, do you remember just, no, you don't, because it was before you were born, but they had a show just called Sanford.
No, I don't remember that.
It was only on for one season, and I vividly remember watching it because it's, you know, Red Fox, and it's Sanford. What happened was, it says, during the 70s, Sanford and Son was a smash hit for NBC. Although the series was wildly popular, it was canceled in 1977 after Red Fox left to star on the Red Fox Comedy Hour for rival network ABC, which eventually was canceled after only 4 months. Fox came back to NBC for the return of Sanford and Son in 1980. However, Damon Wilson, who played Lamont, didn't want to return, so NBC just centered the sequel series around Fred Sanford and his new business partner, Cal Petty, played by the big and burly and fat Dennis Berkley. It was simply called Sanford, while his son Lamont was written out of the show with the explanation that the character moved away to work on an Alaskan pipeline. Unfortunately, Sanford was not nearly as popular as the original Sanford and Son. It was canceled after two seasons in 1981. It was terrible, by the way, can I just say. And by that point, Red Fox was just coasting. You know what I mean? Because if you look at like the last couple of seasons of Sanford and Son, it's just it became so lazy. It was just every episode was Fred be sitting on the chair complaining about something, and then they'd bring some complication in. And Lamont would come in and yell at him. And then, of course, they would bring in Aunt Esther and they would just like scream at each other. Like, he'd be, you ugly, you know, it would do stuff like that. And that was like every single episode. There was no, it wasn't nearly as funny. He wasn't nearly as, like, lively. It was really clear during the last couple of seasons of Sanford and Son, he was just coasting and didn't care. Just like, all right, let's bring in Aunt Esther. And he goes, man, you ugly. And then she goes, you fish-eyed fool. And that's it. They just do that over and over and over again. So, yeah, but Sanford, by the time they just did Sanford, terrible. Really terrible. So, all right, we got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic, and then we're talking more TV spinoffs and sequels to TV shows that everybody has forgotten, including the new Monkees. Hey, they can take a walk. Right, Esmeralda? They can just go take a walk.
Yeah.
Triple Play Thursday. It's the One Artist, Three Songs. That's Johnny Crawford, 773 area code, and that's the song Rumors. So they can go take a walk. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about forgotten TV sequel shows and spinoffs that were mostly sucky. 312-981-7200. So how about... Dan, do you remember Team Knight Rider?
I don't, but this sounds awesome.
Esmeralda, do you remember Team Knight Rider?
Team?
Yeah. 97 to 98 it was on.
No, but does that mean there was more than one Knight Rider?
I don't know. I haven't read the description, but now Knight Rider was a very popular show with Hasselhoffy and Kit. Who was the voice of Kit? Was it the guy from Magnum PI?
I think so.
John Hillerman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the voice of Kit. Obviously a very popular show. So check this out. In 1997, NBC created Team Knight Rider as a sequel to the hit early 80s TV show Knight Rider. Instead of a man and his high-tech car, it featured a team of five members with their very own high-tech vehicles called the Foundation for Law and Government, or FLAG. Although the original was a pop culture hit back in the 80s, Team Knight Rider failed to live up to the expectations of the late 90s, and it was canceled after one season in first-run syndication.
I'm looking at a picture. All these people look like doofuses, too.
This is perhaps the reason why these shows are getting canceled.
Yeah, I think you got to, I don't know, you got to pick your actors carefully so they don't look like doofuses.
Who was, Dan, look... Look up the cast of doofuses as Esmeralda is calling them, Team Knight Rider. Maybe they've gone on to do other things. We don't know. So Team Knight Rider didn't work.
All right. Let's see here. We've got Brixton Carnes as Kyle Stewart.
Sure.
Christine Steele as Jenny Andrews.
Right.
Dwayne Davis as Duke De Palma.
Oh, Dwayne.
Kathy Tregesser as Erica West.
Oh, I love her.
Nick Wessler as Kevin Trek Sanders.
Wow.
Cat was played by Andrea Hutchman.
Uh-huh.
Tom Kane played Dante.
Wow.
John Kassir played Plato.
Uh-huh.
Beast was played by Kerrigan Mahan.
Who's that?
It was worth it.
Why?
Because Domino was played by Nia Vardalos.
Oh, come on now. My big fat Greek car.
But she wasn't one of the main people.
She was in all 22 episodes.
Oh my God.
So. She's probably like a helper of some sort. Because at least in this picture, these promo pictures, you'd think she'd be in it.
Yeah. Well, that was I mean, she was probably still here, right? Remember, it's got to be her first gig out of this city. 97, right? One of her first gigs, right? Because, I mean, when was my fat Greek wedding? Was 2002. So, yeah. All right. Wow. All right.
This looks like something that would be on USA.
Well, it was syndicated, so
it'd be on USA right after Silk Stockings.
Right. That's exactly the kind of... That's Silk Stockings.
So Nia was just a voice.
Oh, she was.
She was the voice of Domino, one of the cars.
One of the cars.
Yes.
Oh,
so the last five I read off, those were the cars.
Oh, those were
Dante,
the,
okay, Domino, Attack, Beast, Cat, and Plato.
I think we need to see some stuff from this, like visually. I really think I need to see some scenes. Not as much as I want to watch that Brady show, where Peter's getting beaten up by his wife and Marcia's an alcoholic. And
it began when one man and one unique car waged a war on crime. Now, five fearless agents and five supercharged vehicles are taking it to the next level. With five times the excitement and five times the attitude.
Let's take it to him, Beast. Holy.
Get ready to ride. Team Knight Rider coming in October. Check local listings for time and channel.
Wow. Wow. That sounds action-packed.
Something crazy must have happened.
That's
nuts. He almost swore.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Team Knight Rider.
Various episodes are available on YouTube.
Well, my screening schedule is becoming complete.
You're going to ditch Back to the Future and just show
that's what
the
I'm gonna
Brady's
do.
And Team Knight Rider.
My next screening is just going to be Team Knight Rider and the Brady's. Forget Back to the Future. I'm not going to show one of the greatest American classics of all time. It's time for, on the big screen,
you're
Team Knight Rider.
Other great American classics
exactly
of all time.
Right. Oh, man. You guys remember what's happening? You guys remember what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you remember what's happening now?
No.
1985 to 1988. It was awful, because I remember watching it. 1985, 6 years after ABC canceled the original What's Happening, screenwriter Eric Monte created a series called What's Happening Now. The new TV show still followed Raj, Dwayne, and Rerun, living in the neighborhood of Watts in Los Angeles, but now the characters are in their mid-20s instead of teenagers. Both TV shows, which were based on Monte's coming-of-age film Cooley High, lasted for 3 seasons each. Both received higher ratings in syndication than in their original runs.
Quickly before we break, William Daniels was the voice of
Kit. William Daniels, right. Why am I getting him mixed up with John Hillerman? I don't know why.
Dude with the mustache and...
In Magnum P.I.
He was like the boss?
Well, I mean, the dude with the mustache in Magnum P.I. is Tom Selleck.
I know, I was saying. He's the boss, right?
Yeah, he was the boss. Yeah. That's John Hillerman. All right. All right, we got to take a break here, and the news is coming up next, and then we got more stupid TV shows to talk about. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. Triple Play Thursday, although we're only going to get a twofer here. But that's Mike requesting some Queen with Ogre Battle. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We're here live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue, here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich comes up right after this show at 5 o'clock with the opening bell. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And then my main man at 6 o'clock for your morning drive is Steve Cochran. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. We've been talking about pretty much forgotten TV show sequels and spinoffs that that were mostly pretty embarrassing and pretty bad. And and many of which are available on YouTube. And so there's a lot of them out there that I certainly want to take a look at, especially the Brady's, little Team Knight Rider. And then let's see what we got here. And I don't remember Star Trek Phase 2. I have no memory of Star Trek Phase 2. It ran in 1978. While Star Trek The Next Generation is the official sequel to the original series, Star Trek Phase 2 was the first planned follow-up, which ultimately went unproduced and unaired. Oh, that's why. After a growing Star Trek cult following and the surprise success of Star Wars in 1977, Paramount Pictures wanted their own science fiction phenomenon on the big screen, so executives asked Gene Roddenberry to adapt Star Trek to a feature film. However, plans for a movie were later scrapped when executives believed interest couldn't support two big sci-fi movies. So instead, Roddenberry started working on the new TV series for Paramount Television, which was slated to be the fourth network, which ordered a two-hour pilot and 13 episodes that would premiere in 1978. Many of the original cast members from Star Trek agreed to return, including DeForest Kelly, Nichelle Nichols, George Takei, and William Koenig. While William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy turned it down, and William Shatner was actually too expensive to cast, new characters included a Vulcan named Zahn and Captain Willard Decker, where they were created to fill the void. But due to the production problems, budget concerns, and the demise of the PTVS, which was the Paramount Television Services, the Phase 2 project was canceled, and its story elements and characters evolved into Star Trek The Motion Picture in 1978, or 79. No wonder I don't remember it, Dan. It never aired. That's why I don't remember it. But the elements from it ended up in Star Trek The Motion Picture, which stunk. So so maybe it's a good thing that they canceled the series. Have you ever seen the first Star Trek movie? Star Trek The Motion Picture?
No, I never saw it.
Don't. And you know the old theory, even-numbered Star Trek movies are good.
Right.
The odd numbers suck. And that's pretty much true. But I remember when the first one came out, went to go see it, saw it at the Norridge, as you saw all the big movies at the Norridge, and it was there was a line around the block. Well, not the block, just the Norridge. There was a line. Because it's not really a block, it's a building. But there was a line around, and it was playing in the big theater number one, you know, with the rocking seats and the big screen and everything. And everybody, and there were so many dorks in line, like costumes, ears, the whole thing. And you could just, like, about halfway through the movie, you could just feel the energy just get sucked out of the room. Like, all the, you could, the disappointment in that room was palpable. You know, like, people were like, they were like Star Trek fans were in pain. But all was corrected with Wrath of Khan. All was forgiven and corrected with Wrath of Khan, which not only the best Star Trek movie, one of the best science fiction movies ever. Wrath of Khan rules. I remember I screened that at my film club, like about a month after Leonard Nimoy died. And like when he dies in the movie, well, sorry if I ruined it. The movie's only 35 years old. When he dies in the movie, man, people in the theater were crying. You know, Tom Appel was there. Big Star Trek guy. He was sitting right in the front row, right there.
Isn't the new one a remake of that? Not the newer, one of the newer Star Trek movies, isn't it?
The one before, because From Beyond was the last one, right? No.
Because they had a
Star
con.
Trek Beyond, From Beyond's a horror movie. What? Yeah, they had a yeah. That was the second of the J.J. Abrams, because there's been three J.J. Abrams movies. It was the first one, which was just Star Trek. The second one, which was called Star Trek, I don't know, Johnson. That's the one where they do the con thing.
That's I've seen
Into Darkness.
Into Darkness, which sucked.
Might have seen two of them. I don't know.
And then the third one was called Star Trek Beyond, which I liked and everybody hated.
What happens?
That's Simon Pegg wrote it. He's also this is the one that he wrote. And I'm trying to remember what happens. It's got the cool blue alien chick who kicks ass.
Maybe I haven't seen it. I keep trying to remember if I'll see them on Hulu and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, which ones have I seen?
Into Darkness is the worst. It's because it's the one that's where they screw with Khan.
The one where Spock, the future stuff.
With actual Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Okay.
That's Star Trek.
Maybe that's the only one I've seen.
Yeah. That's when real Leonard Nimoy shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the first one. That's the first, the J.J. Abrams' first Star Trek.
Oh, I've seen that one and the one with Benedict Cumberbund.
Right. That's Into Darkness.
Okay, so I've seen those two.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbund. By the way, if you're a fan, I mentioned it to Richard Larmer a little bit earlier. If you're a fan of Benedict Cumberbatch and you want to see him do the craziest crap he's ever done on screen ever, unlike anything, you got to watch Patrick Melrose on Showtime. I mean, the amount of heroin he shoots up in the first episode alone, he's out of control in it. And I like Benedict Cumberbatch. He's fine.
He's fine.
But this is, seriously, unlike anything he's ever done. I love him.
Even Sherlock?
This. Yeah. Like, crazy.
Isn't he always high on Sherlock?
Yeah. But no, but, you know, like, snorting cocaine, doing heroin. I mean, nuts. Like, completely out of his mind.
Mm.
It's awesome. Jennifer Jason Leigh's in it. So, right there, that gets me to watch. All right, 312-981-7200. Here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Nick?
Good.
Being a Greek-American, the most insulting movie ever for me was Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Okay.
But the TV show was even worse.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the short-lived TV series. I do remember that. Yeah,
and she was in it.
It was a horror.
Yeah, yeah. She was in it. She was in it. She created it. All that stuff. Yeah.
Didn't they make another Greek wedding one?
They made
this. She did.
Yeah, there was a sequel to it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the thing I always felt about it is when you heard, like, Italian-Americans, like, every mob movie was, like, a cliche and it was insulting. I kind of felt that about the, you know, Big Fat Greek Wedding. You know, after that, hey, you're my used Windex on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh, God, I got so tired of that.
Yeah. Stereotypes hurt, don't they?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It really was annoying. I guess I might be the only Greek that hated that movie, but boy.
I know that Dean loved it. Dean Richards loved it.
Yeah, it was just a parody. You know, you had to go with it, but just over and over. And just that TV show was the worst.
Yeah, I never watched it. I'm not a fan of the movie, so I didn't watch the TV series. So, yeah.
God bless you for that.
All right, buddy.
When you mentioned the Norge real quick, I remember watching Animal House, and it was in every theater. I must have watched it 10 times at the Norge. And the scene around the theater and inside, I mean, it was electric.
I'll
never forget it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. That was a game changer. Animal House was a true game changer in the world of comedy. No question about it.
All the best, Nick.
All right, buddy, take care. There you go. Bob doesn't like my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah. It's got to stink when everyone loves the movie of all the stereotypes.
You must love Speedy Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah. No, he's harmless.
I don't know. As an Italian, I mean, you know, I'm half Italian, half Irish. So lots of stereotypes in my in my world. I mean,
but they're all true.
Well, in my case, they are
all of them.
But no, the Italian American stuff. I'm trying to think if I've ever been offended by any of that stuff. It doesn't really. I don't know. I just kind of roll. Like the Sopranos don't offend me.
It's not more a thing of being offended, but it's a thing of when everyone thinks that that's how you're all. It's like, really? That's it?
Okay, cool. Everybody, I have relatives who are in the mob.
Yeah.
Although my dad did go to school with the Spilotro brothers, so that's a true thing. So anyway, but yeah. All right, let's see. We have to take a break here. Welcome back, everybody. Boys, a couple of deep cuts Mike has chosen from Queen. That's My Fairy King, Triple Play Thursday. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here live in the Allstate Showcase studio here till 5 o'clock. And Esmeralda is here. Esmeralda, do you remember Law & Order L.A.?
No.
I don't remember it either. But apparently there was a Law & Order in L.A. It didn't last very long.
No, and it looks like they do not play that in syndication.
No. You remember when USA was... it was actually A&E at first. A&E was nothing but Law & Order.
Yeah.
There was a time when A&E was... You could watch Law & Order for 12 hours.
Yeah, that's how I've watched every episode of Law & Order.
Yeah.
Is through those channels, USA and A&E.
The original Law & Order is still the best. I don't care what anybody says.
Jerry Orbach.
Please. Chris Noth, Jerry Orbach, please.
Yeah. They now
Michael Moriarty. Michael Moriarty. Ugh.
They now play it on ION. They'll have whole day marathons. That's how
The old school?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they do Law & Order. No, they might just do SVU.
Oh, okay.
But they do whole day marathons.
Hasn't that one?
Every day of the week, there's a different show that they just marathon all day.
That's right. I've scrolled through.
It's wonderful because when you just want to shut your brain off and watch stuff that you've seen, and I'll get sucked in even though I've seen the episode 13 times.
Yeah. The thing about I think SUV. Because when they drive around in a vehicle and they solve crimes. That's what SUV is. Law & Order SUV.
Yeah.
SVU. Mm-hmm. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one that's been on the longest. Like, I think it has the longest tenure.
It could. I mean, because it's still...
It's still on. Yeah, it's still on. Law & Order. All the other Law & Orders are gone.
Criminal Intent.
Gone. The original Law & Order. Gone. Yeah. Evidently, Law & Order LA.
That one. I wonder what, like...
Can you look up Law & Order LA? I don't even remember that existing.
But why did it not work?
I don't know. And now there's all these, you know, Dick Wolf now, everything is Chicago. By the way, I don't know if you've gone online. Have you looked up Dick Wolf's Chicago Improv, which is a bit they did when Tina Fey hosted SNL?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. So funny. And so, I mean, obviously, Tina Fey, one of the heroes of improv in this city.
Yeah.
And spot, having been in improv, you know, and Chicago Improv, it's Dick Wolf's newest show, Chicago Improv.
Oh my gosh.
It is absolutely, it's a fake commercial for the show. Mm-hmm. Funniest thing they did on SNL last week, by far. And I mean, funnier because of like personal experience.
Yeah.
Like I was watching it going, oh my God, that is so spot on.
Yeah. I'm amazed we haven't gotten on one of the Chicago shows.
Yeah.
They always got things like, they need extras,
right.
Looking for bartenders.
They should do Chicago. I think Dick Wolf should do Chicago Radio.
Oh, God.
That should be a series. This would be so boring. Now, Dan, who was in L.A. Village of L.A. Village?
Prepare yourself.
At Law & Order L.A.
Skeet Ulrich.
Oh, what? That's right. That's right. Now I remember it. Okay, go ahead.
Corey Stoll.
Uh-huh.
Rachel Ticketon. Ticketon.
Yeah.
Regina Hall. Megan Boone. Alfred Molina.
Oh, that's right.
Terrence Howard. Alana Del Garza.
Wow. When was it on?
It aired in 2011.
Okay. I remember.
Such a bummer.
I remember Skeet Ulrich. I remember now Skeet Ulrich being in it.
Why did it not work, I wonder?
I don't know.
They even have a Law & Order England.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't remember. Dan, what is Top of the Heap that's listed here as a bad spinoff?
Four.
It doesn't say. It just says the name of it, Top of the Heap. That's why I want to look it up. I don't know. I kind of remember the title.
Sounds like a game show. Try to be top of the heap.
Yeah, man. Top of the heap, man. Win all the heap.
Yeah. Can you get to the top of the heap?
Here's Johnny Olsen. Do we have a...
Married with Children spinoff.
Huh.
Featured Charlie Verducci, played by Joseph Bologna.
Oh, that's what it was.
And his son Vinny, Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc. That's right.
So wait, who's the people who...
Well, they were on an episode of Married with Children. They were like repairmen or something, and they were going to do work on the house. And the entire episode, you saw like 2 seconds of the Bundys, and the entire episode was Joseph Bologna and Matt LeBlanc.
Really?
As a setup for Top of the Heap. I just forgot the name of the show was Top of the Heap.
Why would they?
That's how a lot of spinoffs start. You know, a lot of spinoffs, it's like they'll like have the actual stars of the show on for like 2 minutes, and then they leave.
Right.
And,
Gosh, I would have thought maybe one of the kids.
Yeah.
The dog.
No, it was just two guys who were like repairmen. And
in the shoe store.
Yeah, somebody in the shoe store gets it. So, or the kid, Seven, he gets his own.
Right. I would have watched the one with the dog.
Just the dog?
Just the dog. Could you? That would be great.
Yeah.
It'd be like that bunny show.
Greg the Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, except it's a real dog. Greg the Bunny was a puppet.
That's fine. I mean, whatever. They had the dog talking.
They did have the dog talking.
It could have worked.
Yeah. But yeah, that was terrible. I think most people think, boy, I'll tell you, Matt LeBlanc has been in some terrible spinoffs. Joey?
He can only... Well, no, because no, he didn't work.
He's on this show now, episodes.
And that's good?
Yeah, it's real good.
But that's him playing him like an exaggerated...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really good, actually. It's very funny and profane, and he gets away with a lot because it's on Showtime.
Yeah.
So, but I think a lot of people would consider perhaps the worst spinoff ever to be Joni Loves Chachi. Just unbelievable. Unbelievably bad. And Happy Days had a couple of other. I mean, they had Mork and Mindy was a Happy Days spinoff.
How did they not? Did they not give? I can't remember his name.
Fonzie.
Yeah.
Well, he was the star of Happy Days because Ron Howard left, and so for like the last for the last four seasons of Happy Days, it was all about
the
Fonzie.
He was happy.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and a lot of, and then Three's a Crowd and The Ropers, both terrible spinoffs of Three's Company.
Because The Ropers.
They left after two seasons, I think, or three seasons. And
is
then,
that essentially just Three's Company? But
all of them were like that. Yeah, it was all about misunderstandings. The people lived next door. They overheard something. Jeffrey Tambor was their neighbor on Three's a Crowd. And then on The Ropers, he was on it. And Three's a Crowd was when Jack and his wife now are together. And they have to deal with Robert Mandan from Soap as her father who hates Jack.
Do they have a spinoff for that show with the two daughters and the guy who drew the cartoon?
Oh,
what was that show?
It was called Ted Knight. Three's a Crowd. No,
I've watched a few of those episodes.
Yeah, I love that show. And what the hell's the name of that? What's the name of that show? It's Ted Knight, Deborah Van Valkenburg from.
And it's got
Jim J. Bullock.
Yeah.
And it took place in San Francisco. Okay, I have to find out. We have to break. But I have to find out what the name is.
Because I know it changed.
I'm too close for comfort.
There you go. Because I know it changed because the daughters were gone and then they moved to some small town.
Yeah. And was I used to love that show. Okay, we have to break. We got the news coming up. Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Fly Jams Friday, all the other cool stuff. All right, we'll be back after this news.